Patrick Finley, it's Jason Leisure. Jason, we will talk about the big Bears-Lions game coming up and about what Justin Fields said about his future and if it means anything. All that and more coming up on Hallis Intrigue. Jason, the Bears play the Lions at Soldier Field on Sunday, and they get a chance for a rematch. Of course, the loss to the Lions 2 games ago is pretty catastrophic, I think, in the big picture. Blew a lead in the last 4 minutes, wound up losing by 5, gave up 2 touchdowns, a 2-point conversion, and a safety. If the Bears were going to have a breakthrough win, it felt like that was the chance. Does this feel like they have a chance too, or no?
It does. They just showed you that they have a chance against this team. And you are right, man, about the missed opportunity, because that would have been the signature win for Matt Eberflus, for Luke Getsy, for Ryan Poles. Possibly Justin Fields. I mean, it would have been up there. Justin Fields doesn't have a lot of them. That would have changed a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, it ends up being one of the low points of the season, that it's just one of these, you can't believe they dropped a 12-point lead with 4 minutes left in that game. A lot of the talk this week has been about the Bears' perspective on that and how they will be very fueled by that in this game. I wouldn't discount the idea that the Lions feel like they have something to prove from that game, too. I don't think the Lions walked out of there feeling like they played the Bears the way that they should have, and they probably have a little bit on their minds from that game, too.
It must be nice to live in a world where you can play poorly and win a game.
They have been.
Yeah.
Because the Lions are struggling right now, right?
Sure.
4-1 in their last 5, they're struggling.
Right.
Like, what a life.
Right. I mean, they have a defense that since week 7 has been the third worst in the NFL in terms of points allowed. That's concerning, but that hasn't stopped them from winning games. I don't discount the fact that the Bears will probably have some motivation on Sunday. I get back to the fact that the Lions have the better roster. And it could be cold outside, which the Bears are happy about, and the Bears could be motivated, which they're happy about, and they could get Dante Foreman back and claim that they're super healthy, which they're happy about. All of that, if the Lions play a B-plus game, I don't think the Bears can beat them.
No, the Lions have handled teams like this pretty much all year, and teams better than the Bears. I mean,
mm-hmm.
The Lions are a legitimate playoff team. They're not even a surprise anymore like they were last year. This is the best team in the division,
right?
Hands down, mm-hmm. Running away with the division, and a team that is angling to see if it can give Philly or San Francisco a run. And I doubt that they can,
right?
But the fact that they even have a thought of it tells you how different and what different places these teams are in.
Do the Bears feel like they're in a better place today than they were 2 games ago when they played the Lions?
Not to me, no.
Okay.
I
think that they seem to have made Montez Sweat more of a consistent presence, whether that's through playing time, because remember the big criticism in Detroit was he was off, on the sideline during some of the biggest moments at the very end.
Right.
But they've really only put together 1 full game since then. Really good defensive game against the Vikings, a really bad offensive game in which they scored 12 points. Go ahead.
It's been trending that way for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
The defense has been getting better. The defense has been getting better since Matt Eberflus started calling plays back in week 2. I mean, there's been some improvement, and then Sweat gives him more of the freedom to call a defense that he wants to call.
Right.
Less blitzing. They were blitzing by necessity so much the first season for Matt Eberflus and most of the second season. Matt Eberflus is a really good defensive coordinator. That's how he got this job. And there's no question about that. Nobody would have disputed that he's a good defensive coordinator. The real question right now is he more than that? Because you have to be more than that to be a successful head coach. So, I guess their defense played better against Minnesota. I mean, Josh Dobbs handed them 4 giveaways.
Right.
And only scored 10 points. I don't know that you're going to play that well against the Lions. The offense is such a concern for me, though. Yeah, they played well mm-hmm. against the Lions in Detroit. They still only scored 26 points. I mean, that's not. Let's not get too crazy with that. Right. Justin Fields, I think, threw for 170 yards mm-hmm. in that game. Rushed for 100. So he ends up in this window where I kind of want him to be
right.
in terms of rushing, passing combined, somewhere in the 250 to 300 range.
105.1 passer rating, too.
It was very efficient.
Right.
But the production is missing.
They scored 12 points against the Vikings. And I presented this question to you the other day. If you're Luke Getsy, would you rather score, at this point in the year, at this point in their careers, would you rather score 29 and lose or 12 and win in terms of your future?
If you're just Getsy, you need the points.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
like, that Lions game looks good for Getsy even though they lost. Right. That Vikings game looks bad for Getsy even though they won.
He tried to explain the horizontal passing game to us on Thursday, saying that a lot of them were read option plays in which Justin at the line of scrimmage, if he saw eight blitzers against five blockers, would just, you know, just dump it off. You know, there were 13 screens, I think 15 total plays behind the line of scrimmage or passes behind the line of scrimmage. Maybe that's a smart way to play that defense. But boy, it didn't produce much.
Let me ask you this about Fields and Getsy, because it feels untenable to me. Do you think that Luke Getsy is calling the offense that Justin Fields wants called?
No, but do you think Justin Fields can quarterback the kind of offense that Luke Getsy wants?
Well, that's the second question I was going to ask you.
Right. And I think the answer is probably no to both.
I think it's no to both, and you just can't continue that way. Right. Whether they both need to go or one of them needs to go, this just continues to not look right to me. Is Luke Getsy having to scheme around Justin Fields' limitations, or is he limiting what Justin Fields could do by trying to turn him into something that he's not? Either answer is a problem.
Right.
And it's probably some of both. It's just a big mess right now. And I think those guys are both very professional. I think that they do genuinely like each other
mm-hmm.
and want to work well together, but I just don't think it can happen. I think the answer to both of the questions that we're asking is no, that this isn't the kind of offense Justin Fields wants to play, and this isn't the kind of quarterback that Luke Getsy would ideally have.
This is, you know, the job of an offensive coordinator is to do what to bring out the strengths of their quarterback and to avoid situations that put their quarterback in an area of weakness, right? Probably in that order. You know, I don't know how many quarterbacks walking the earth check both boxes, you know, that we just talked about. How many of them are the dream quarterback for a coordinator, and how many of them love their coordinator in return? It might be 10. 12.
10 or 12 is a lot.
Yeah,
that's a whole playoff field practically.
It's not here, and we're not saying that there's any sort of dysfunction necessarily, but there's definitely a push-pull between the most effective ways to get yards and what would further both of their careers.
It just doesn't match.
Yeah.
Their philosophy, if you go back and watch, and I did.
Right.
If you go back and watch Justin Fields' college highlights at Ohio State,
yeah.
It isn't a lot of running, first of all.
No,
if you didn't watch him as a college player, it wasn't a lot of running. It was bombs. And he was playing a different game. He was playing behind an All-American offensive line with All-American wide receivers, but he's just launching darts down the field. And the reason that I bring that up is because I suspect that's how Justin Fields imagines himself as a quarterback.
Yeah, and he throws a really good deep ball, and the Bears have said it as recently as this week. And you sit there and go, great, he throws a great deep ball. You want to call a deep pass or two? there's a little irony to the fact that the Bears built their entire game plan against the Vikings to throw screen passes. And then what bails them out is a deep ball by Justin Fields when they had no other choice but to say, oh, my God, we got to heave it here. And he got it. The screens don't bother me. The weird approach doesn't bother me if it's successful. And I'm sure you could sit there and say, well, it's successful because they won the game. But, you know, the yardage wasn't great. The point total was horrible. If Justin doesn't fumble twice, maybe that score is more like 18-10. But are you writing home about that?
18 points off when you get four turnovers.
For four turnovers, yeah. It'll be very different, I think, against the Lions. I think that they'll go back to something a lot more similar to what they did last time. And I guess my question is, are the Lions going to be ready for it? Is their defense good enough to be ready for it? And what effect maybe the weather will have if it's going to be cold and maybe a little snowy.
Wednesday was the first time that I've heard Justin Fields acknowledge the possibility that his Bears time is winding down.
Yep.
I don't recall him addressing that before. He has talked about the urgency, the knowing that the clock is ticking. He talked about that going into his second season.
And he's even talked about, you know, I'm playing for me, I'm not playing for anything else. Like, right. That's come up, but never as directly as Wednesday, yes.
The fact that he's being asked these questions, usually, it doesn't matter what the answer is. Usually, the fact that it's coming up in press conferences...
Bad sign.
Yeah, whether you're talking about Getsy or Eberflus or Justin Fields, these questions aren't coming up in, let's say, Baltimore.
Right.
Or Miami.
Right.
Like, these questions weren't coming up last year. Matt Eberflus, for example, was not getting grilled in the press conferences last year, even though they were the worst team in the league.
But it's because we all
the way he is now.
We all knew what they had.
The stakes are very different now for everybody. Justin Fields' situation is interesting. Let's get into that in a second. What did you think about? Tell people if they didn't hear it what he said, and what did you think about what he said yesterday?
The question, I think it was Herb Howard who first presented it to him, asked him if he thought it was fair for people to make judgments this season and going forward in this season. Know about his future, knowing that the Bears could have the number one pick in the draft, knowing that there's been a lot of chatter out there. And he starts it by saying, well, life isn't fair. And then says more or less that he puts his faith in God and his faith in a higher power. And he eventually comes around on, I think, follow-up question number two to say, hey, man, the media's been hard. You know, the media's been hard on me and fans have been hard on me, but everybody's got their opinion. He wasn't complaining necessarily. He said he'd been kind of aware of the feelings there. We've heard a lot of quarterbacks talk about how the game doesn't define them and about how they'll be fine. And those answers never come from a happy place. It's always when things are going poorly. I thought the answer was fine. I thought Justin presents himself really well. In situations like this, and I thought he did that again. I would have loved for him to. It would have been more interesting to me had he come out and said, "Man, I got 5 games left. Like, come on." But he didn't argue with the premise that this might be it. And to me, maybe that's the big takeaway from it. The actual words that came out of his mouth weren't as telling as the fact that he actually said them. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I've respected his composure and his handling of everything publicly. Since they drafted him, everything from how do you handle a situation where you are coming from the top of college football? You are not some 1AA prospect that needs development, that needs to be treated like a project.
Right.
And the Bears saying, well, we're going to redshirt you a year to play Andy Dalton, even though you're looking pretty good and you are coming from a high level, you should be ready. Like, he handled that well. He has handled the coaching change well. He has handled this year mostly pretty well, and I think he handled things well Wednesday. When he says life isn't fair, there has been quite a bit here that wasn't fair to him, right. I think. You wonder, you know, in that draft class, Patrick, if he had been drafted by the 49ers, would his career go differently? I think that being drafted into a situation where the staff was about to get fired, the personnel was not great, and then his second season is a full-blown teardown and change of offense, everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And now, is it fair or unfair that he has no control over where that top pick ends up for the Bears? Is it unfair because they have Carolina's pick, Justin Fields cannot win his way out of this conversation by getting the Bears to maybe the 11th pick or something, and then that would neuter the entire debate? Or is it fair that he is being judged as against the standards of an excellent franchise quarterback, because he has to prove definitively that he's that, or the Bears have a very good option to go find someone else. And this has nothing to do with whatever you project for the college quarterbacks. That's not really the point. The point is he is being judged against what they could do with the number one pick. If they didn't have Carolina's pick and they were drafting even 5th, I don't know how much of a debate this would be.
The short answer is, I don't think it matters whether it's fair. It's kind of where we are. If we want to talk about fairness, we can talk about Justin getting drafted by a different regime. And like you said, not playing. And then, you know, last year was his first year under Getsy. And halfway through this season, I know most Bears fans decided they were done with Justin Fields. What's that? 2.5 years?
Two and a half, very turbulent, with a lot of turbulence around him.
Yeah, that had little to do with him. But if he were undeniable, wouldn't we know by now? I guess that's what I keep getting to. You know, this year they surrounded him with good enough players that you can see what you've got. You know, look at their losses, the two horrible, you know, losses that they took this year.
Denver and Detroit.
Yeah, I mean, there's a fumble against Denver, right? You know, and there's that strip sack fumble with 22 seconds left. I don't put that loss on Fields on that play necessarily. Now, there's a deep ball that came within, you know, a half inch of hitting that would have ended the game. That would have been nice. You know, we could go back through, and there are moments in the last 3 years where if you're undeniable, it comes out, and it hasn't. Now, do I think Justin can be successful still in the NFL? Yes. Do I think he could be successful somewhere else? Yeah, probably more likely than he would be if he stayed here. But, you know, the fact is this. If he were undeniable at the end of last season, Ryan Poles wouldn't have made the trade with the idea being that he had quarterback insurance this year. Part of the reason they made that deal was because they knew the Panthers would be bad this year. They wanted another year to look at Fields, and they wanted an ejection button for him if he wasn't good enough. And that's precisely what they've been given. It's worked out perfectly for Poles. It might be the greatest trade in the last decade in the NFL if Carolina stays bad. If Carolina manages to win three games, though, this thing gets very different. And, you know, if the Bears are sitting at picks 3 and 10, you know, now there's a world where, okay, let's give Justin Fields Marvin Harrison Jr., and a left tackle, and see what he can do. But as we sit here right now, that seems unlikely.
Yeah, that's the idea of having the number one pick, or even a top two pick, is what creates a lot of urgency and deadline in this situation. Mm-hmm. Because they could just kind of play things out with Fields for a while.
Yep.
If you don't think he's good, then you're wasting seasons. And don't take that lightly. Mm-hmm. Wasting seasons is hard. Like, what was the point of watching the Bears, if you're a fan, last season when they go 3-14? Right. They wasted a season. And you believed they were wasting it with a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, a few of those, that's
the purpose
tough
was
to sit through.
The purpose was eating $80 million in dead cap space.
Yeah.
That was the purpose.
More than one of those. And when it starts to become without a purpose, that's really tough to sit through.
Is there anything he can do in the next 5 weeks to change this conversation?
I tend to think no.
I'm leaning no. I think it would take a pretty dramatic turn of events.
Five games would have to flip everything you've seen so far.
Mm-hmm.
The passing production isn't there. There are times where he's been efficient, mm-hmm. but when you talk about his performance against the Lions, exclude the rushing total, just his passing performance, a very efficient mm-hmm. 170 yards. I think a lot of guys could do that.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of quarterback. I think Tyson Bagent can do that, and a lot of Tyson Bagent types.
They can't have the 100 yards rushing.
No, I'm saying set that aside.
Right.
That's something special that Justin Fields brings that no one has. Lamar Jackson is not as good of a runner
right.
as Justin Fields. He is the best running quarterback in the league. But passing production-wise, there are backups that can come in and give you an efficient 170 yards, you know, 15 of 20 passing or whatever. It's the production that's missing. It's hard to win when you have a quarterback that struggles to get you to 200 yards passing.
Yeah, it's hard to win. It's hard to win without a great defense, you know, playing alongside you, and they're not there.
And even if they get there, that's I don't think the kind of offense that's not how you build a contender.
It might be how you build a contender. It might not be how you build a Super Bowl champion. I think that there are teams you can look and say, boy, their defense is stellar and their offense is just okay.
Yeah, but I can't see that team winning a championship usually.
Right. Yeah.
That's got to be your goal.
Right.
And so when you look at measuring Justin Fields against these great quarterbacks like Lamar Jackson or Patrick Mahomes or Jalen Hurts,
right.
Tua,
mm-hmm.
that's the standard.
Sure.
That's what you have to have a chance pretty much, and you got to have a lot else. You mentioned the turnovers for Justin Fields. That continues to be a problem, and that is alarming to me because I view the turnovers mostly as independent of the bad circumstances around him. He is the one ultimately who's making the choice of where to throw or not throw He is the one ultimately fumbling the ball.
He's the one getting the ball knocked out of his arms.
That's not Matt Nagy, Bill Lazor, Luke Getsy, mm-hmm. Ryan Poles, Ryan Pace. That's him. That's ultimately his call.
Right.
And that hasn't gotten better. Here's one thing, though, I do think about Justin Fields. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned this earlier. I do think that he can be a good NFL quarterback. I don't think the Bears have time to wait for that. And I don't think with Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus, if they're staying, I don't think their philosophy really is going to be conducive to that. I think there's a mismatch mm-hmm. of staff and quarterback here, which, surprise, that's kind of what the Bears do. Mm-hmm. That's what happened with Nagy and Trubisky. Mm-hmm. But when Trubisky fizzled out here, mm-hmm. I didn't imagine him going on to become anything no. other than what he's been. This has been fairly predictable. Justin Fields, if he ends up in the right situation, can be a viable, probably middle tier, like 15th best quarterback in the league. That's possible.
I have visions of watching him throwing a deep ball as a member of the Atlanta Falcons next year and going, oh, yeah, there you go. Let's do our picks real quick before we get out of here, Jason. The Sun-Times are split 4-2 in favor of the Chicago Bears, surprisingly. You have the Lions at 20-16. Defend yourself.
Well, I think they're a better team.
Yeah.
I think the Lions are better, and better teams usually win. And I, while the Bears looked good in the last game against the Lions, maybe their best mm-hmm. they've looked this year,
mm-hmm.
even as it fizzled out at the end, I don't think their best game beats the Lions' best game.
No, absolutely not. I've got the Bears 24-19. That said, I think that the combination of the Bears' defense getting better, I think being outdoors produces a different game than we saw in Detroit. I think we've seen that for years with the Lions. I think the Bears have a chance to ugly this thing up and try to walk away with a win. On my side is Mark Potash at 24-20, very similar to my score. Scoop Jackson at 27-21, and Rick Tellender at 21-20. You have got the Viper with you, and he's at 28-20 Lions. He made the point that you've made, which is the Lions aren't playing well, and it still doesn't stop them from winning games, particularly against the Bears a couple weeks ago. So I think it'll be an interesting game. I know this, Jason. If they lose on Sunday, I don't think you can squint and make the last four games appear incredibly relevant. But if they do win, I think you can. And the longer that goes on, I think maybe the better for the coaching staff here and maybe the better for those of us trying to watch real football in the last month.
It's another chance for them to beat a good team.
Mm-hmm. Which might be the last chance.
Hasn't happened. And yeah, if you could beat the Lions.
Yeah.
Who are 9-3, mm-hmm. and you can win a road game at Cleveland, which is a bad team but has a very, very good defense.
Great defense, but Joe Flacco at quarterback.
Awesome yep. defense.
Mm-hmm.
That would change the mood a little bit. I still think that everyone should have seen enough by now to be able to make decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So that starts with Kevin Warren.
Right.
Kevin Warren should have seen enough by now to know what his opinion is of Ryan Poles, Matt Eberflus, Luke Getsy, Justin Fields, and everyone under him has had enough time to evaluate the people under them.
Okay. We're 2/3 of the way through the season. Why do you think everybody's seen enough?
Well, in Kevin, I mean, they've been behind the scenes all along.
Oh,
so,
sure.
So for Kevin Warren, it's not just the 12 games that have been played. Right. It's everything he's seen behind the scenes as far as Ryan Poles' approach to the draft and free agency.
For all we know, the behind the scenes stuff helps both Poles and Eberflus. It's not necessarily
yeah.
negative, right?
It's just more of a full evaluation, right. I think. And I think you could look at this and you can see, for example, I think no matter what happens in the last five games, that Justin Fields and Luke Getsy are not a match. And that one or both of them
mm-hmm.
is going to have to go for you to be able to advance as a team. I think that Ryan Poles has worked with Matt Eberflus for not just 2/3 of this season, but
right.
all of the year before.
Mm-hmm.
Again, this goes back to all of the offense, all
right.
of the everyday in practice, the game plan. I think there's enough in for an evaluation no matter how these last five games go. What I think could change with these last five games is that if you are Ryan Poles and you are looking for a reason to keep people,
yep.
they could give you something like that. If you are, let's just talk about Eberflus. Mm-hmm. If you are Ryan Poles and you are looking for a reason to keep Matt Eberflus, you are not sitting here right now saying we can do better with
this guy.
We could get so many, or simply we need an offensive minded coach. That was my mistake. Mm-hmm. We definitely need an offensive minded coach, especially if we're making a move at quarterback. And those things are all intertwined to me. If you're looking for a reason to keep Matt Eberflus, the defense is trending in the right direction. If they were to get to 7 wins from 3 wins the year before, maybe that gives you enough ammo to make the case to Kevin Warren and George McCaskey and maybe the fan base. I don't know how many people will be buying it.
Right.
That this is the right move to keep Matt Eberflus. But it feels a little bit to me, not apples to apples, but it feels a little bit to me like 2020 for the Bears, where this was a bad team. They had a bad record at about this stage. They beat some bad teams down the stretch, got to 8-8, and that was part of the justification to keep Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace for another year when they shouldn't have.
And then you ran into the issue, and Jason, there will be plenty of time to talk about this, but the last two times the Bears have drafted a quarterback in the first round, they've then fired his head coach after his first season.
And you run a strong risk of that again.
Yes, if that were to happen. Plenty of time to talk about that. A pretty compelling game coming up on Sunday. Please check out the Sun-Times in print and online between now and then. And check wherever you get your podcasts after the game for our post-game pod. He's Jason Leisure. Mark Potash is off working. And I'm Patrick Finley. Thanks so much for listening. We will be back again real soon.